Unity.
Unity, please don't desert me.
Get together out there. Come on. What are you waiting for? It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Without Will. On American Freedom Radio. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show. .com, which has just gone through somewhat of a remodel. So if you go to www.thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, you can have a look at what we have done. And indeed, grand news, everybody. We have the opportunity to broadcast live in New Zealand. Well, not live, actually. I think they'll probably be doing a rebroadcast of the show because, you know, although we're broadcasting from the future, we're so far behind, you would not believe. That's the kind of thing about living in an island nation in the South Pacific. That everything just kind of takes a lot longer to get here. But fortunately, we have some very good news. This is sent in to me by a good friend of our somewhat fabulous producer. It was a press release from Niwa. I'm not sure if you know who Niwa is. National idiots with something. basically, the people who tried to scam everyone by saying that, you know, although the fact that all our recording and data equipment that we were talking about with the climate and whatnot was near air conditioning vents, and us saying that, oh, the climate's warming. They have a press release here from them. Analysis from NIWA's ozone research shows that the Antarctic ozone hole is smaller this year than any of the previous 5 years. It's in from gorillamedia.co.nz. Calculations made by combining satellite data with ground-based measurements, including the Antarctica New Zealand Arrival Heights Observatory near Scott Base, show that 2010 Antarctic ozone hole reached a maximum area of approximately 22 million kilometres squared, and a maximum ozone mass deficit of approximately 27 million tonnes. In 2009, these figures were 24 million kilometres squared and 35 million tonnes. The largest ozone hole ever recorded was in 2000, when it reached approximately 29 million kilometres squared and 43 million tonnes deficit. Now, with a one-year reduction in the ozone hole, it can't in itself indicate a recovery stage, but NIWA's atmospheric experts based at Lauder. So the new information adds to a pattern of less severe ozone holes in recent years. NIWA atmospheric scientist Dr. Stephen Wood says the results are encouraging and indicate that international initiatives such as the Montreal Protocol may now be showing a positive effect on the Antarctic ozone hole. The 87 Montreal Protocol is an international convention phasing out the use of ozone-depleted substances such as CFCs and other man-made halogen compounds. Well, that's good news for once. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. 402-237-2525 is the number to call. We'll be right back.
This is where we hold them. This is where we fight. This is where they die! Remember this day, Ben. It will be yours for all time.
We, the people of the Agal, hunt the mightiest of beasts, the Manak. He is great, and we are small, and still we bring him down. Because we hunt together. as one.
We will join our brothers and sisters on the mountain of the gods and convince them to fight with us together as one.
Help me. In the name of Christ, help yourselves. Now is our chance. Now. If we join, we can win. If we win, well, then we'll have what none of us have ever had before. A country of our own.
They won't understand. It's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
The present is gone. Fantasy is a part of reality. We take the brakes off. We're thinking clearly, yet not thinking at all. And this feels right. We stop trying to control things. Warm rush of chemicals through us. We're fluctuating. Is this brain damage? We forget all the pain and the hurt in life. We want to go somewhere else. We're not threatened by people anymore. All our insecurities have evaporated. We're in the clouds now. We're wide open. We're spacemen orbiting the Earth. Yeah, the world looks beautiful from here, man. We're nympholeptics, desiring for the unobtainable. We risk sanity for moments of temporary enlightenment. So many ideas, so little memory. The last thought killed by anticipation of the next. We embrace an overwhelming feeling of love. We flow in unison. We're together. I wish this was real. We want a universal level of togetherness where we're comfortable with everyone. We're in rhythm, part of a movement to escape. We wave goodbye. Ultimately, we just want to be happy.
Genetic power is the most awesome force the planet's ever seen, but you wield it like a kid that's found his dad's gun.
It's hardly appropriate to start hurling generalizations.
If I may, I'll tell you the problem with the scientific power that you're using here. It didn't require any discipline to attain it. You know, you read what others had done, and you took the next step. You didn't earn the knowledge for yourselves, so you don't take any responsibility for it. You stood on the shoulders of geniuses to accomplish something as fast as you could, and before you even knew what you had, you patented it and packaged it and slapped it on a plastic lunchbox, and now you're selling it. You're going to sell it. Well,
I don't think you're giving us our due credit. Our scientists have done things which nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't start to think if they should.
My old friend, the panda will never fulfill his destiny, nor you yours, until you let go of the illusion of control.
Illusion?
Yes. Look at this tree, Sifu. I cannot make it blossom when it suits me, nor make it bear fruit before its time.
But there are things we can control. I can control when the fruit will fall. And I can control where to plant the seed. Hiya! That is no illusion, Master.
Ah, yes. But no matter what you do, that seed will grow to be a peach tree. You may wish for an apple or an orange, but you will get a peach.
But a peach cannot defeat Tai Lung.
Maybe it can, if you are willing to guide it, to nurture it, to believe in it.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room.
You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
We are citizens of an American nation, and our rights are being threatened by a tyrant 3,000 miles away.
Would you tell me, please, Mr. Howard, why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away?
An elected legislature can trample a man's rights as easily as a king can.
Captain Martin, I understood you to be patriot.
If you mean by patriot, am I angry about taxation without representation? Well, yes, I am. Should the American colonies govern themselves independently? I believe they can, and they should.
Wish to end this?
What do you
wish to go home? Then we must stop fighting amongst ourselves. And face that the price for it may be dear. I, for one, would rather die than to spend my life in hiding. The sheriff calls us outlaws. But I say we are free. And one free man defending his home is more powerful than 10 hired soldiers. Crusades taught me that. I will make you no promises save one. That if you truly believe in your hearts that you are free, then I say we can win.
Something given has no value. Look, when you vote, you are exercising political authority. You're using force. And force, my friends, is violence. The supreme authority from which all other authority is derived.
My mother always said violence never solves anything.
Really? I wonder what the city fathers of Hiroshima would say about that. You.
They probably wouldn't say anything. Hiroshima was destroyed.
Correct. Naked force has resolved more issues throughout history than any other factor. The contrary opinion, that violence never solves anything, is wishful thinking at its worst. People who forget that always pay. Rico, what's the moral difference, if any, between a civilian and a citizen?
A citizen accepts personal responsibility for the safety of the body politic, defending it with his life. A civilian does not.
Exact words of the text. But do you understand it? Do you believe it?
I don't know.
If your quarry goes to ground, leave no ground to go to. You should have taken my offer. Or did you think none of this was your fault?
I don't murder children.
I do. If I have to.
Why? Do you even know why they send you?
It's not my place to ask. I believe in something greater than myself. A better world. A world without sin.
So me and mine gotta lay down and die so you can live in your better world?
I'm not going to live there. There's no place for me there, any more than there is for you. Malcolm, I'm a monster. What I do is evil. I have no illusions about it, but it must be done.
Keep talking. You're not getting a location trace off this wave.
And every minute you keep River Tam from me, more people will die.
You think I care?
Of course you care. You're not a Reaver, Mal. You're a human man.
We've been fighting a long time, and we have all lost so very much, so many loved ones gone. But you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important you are and how important you will become.
Skynet is planning something big. But the Resistance is planning something bigger.
Command wants us to fight like machines. They want us to make cold, calculated decisions. But we are not machines. And if we behave like them, then what is the point in winning?
If you're listening to this, you are the Resistance.
What is the subject of your essay?
Why is American government the best government in the world?
Your teacher crafted that question?
Yeah, why?
Well, yeah, I'll look past the obvious problems in syntax for a moment. I'll focus more on the core of the question. I mean, A, does America have the best government in the world? And B, what constitutes the best government? The crime? Poverty? Literacy? In America, definitely not best. Perhaps not even better than most. We do have a very entertaining government.
Dad.
I'm sorry. Are you familiar with the term BS? BS, if I may, is what questions like the one your teacher posed are made for. Because even if America had the best government, there'd be no way to prove it. And how many pages you read?
2 pages.
2 pages. Definitely not 2 pages.
So what am I supposed to write?
You can write whatever you want.
Okay.
Write about America's amazing ability to make profit by breaking down trading tariffs and bringing American jobs to third world countries. Or how good we are at executing felons. They're all correct answers.
I can do that.
See, Joy, that's the beauty of argument. Is if you argue correctly, you're never wrong.
Why won't you die? Why won't you die?
Beneath this mask, there is more than flesh. Beneath this mask, there is an idea, Mr. Creedy. And ideas are bulletproof.
I love working on American soil, Dan. Ain't had this much fun since Woodward and Bernstein.
How long can we keep this up?
Congress is pushing through some new bill that's going to outlaw masks. Our days are numbered. Till then, it's like you always say. We're society's only protection.
From what?
You kidding me? From themselves.
Get your stinking hands off me.
What the hell happened to us? What happened to the American dream?
What happened to the American dream? It came true. You're looking at it.
Out there is our home. Home, Otto, and it's in trouble. I can't just sit here and do nothing. That's all I've ever done. That's all anyone on this blasted ship has ever done. Nothing.
I'm the axiom. You will survive.
I don't want to survive. I want to live.
It's the apocalypse. End of days. The judgment day. The end of the world, my friend. Christians called it the rapture, but the Mayans knew about it. The Hopis, the I Ching, the Bible, kind of.
Nobody could keep that big a secret, Charlie. Somebody blow the whistle.
And every once in a while, some poor little sucker tries. Well, like these guys. Boom! Boom! Every one of these guys, dead, dead, dead!
I've seen and done things I'm not proud of, but at some point you realize war. It's a business. So when did killing become a business for you?
Oh, it's so much more than that. I have discovered the holy grail of science, Mr. Laurent. I give life. The Agnates. They're simply tools, instruments. They have no souls. The possibilities are endless here. In 2 years' time, I will be able to cure children's leukemia. How many people on Earth can say that, Mr. Laurent?
I guess just you and God. That's the answer you're looking for, isn't it?
And we are back. I stayed up last night, right, and thought, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, that films have those elements within them, even though they're part of the machine and all of that, big Hollywood movies, you know, brainwashing everybody, keeping us all dumbed down and not focusing on things that really matter in the large extent of the word. If you can look at a film as a truther, and I can tell you that I'm a major, major film file. I can tell you that much. I have watched a ridiculously large amount of movies, the likes of which you would never in your conceivable lifetime be able to watch the same amount of. I remember one week I watched something like 50 movies. You know, it's just out of this world, out of control. And unlike most people who will watch a film and then largely forget what was in it, I'm capable of recalling quotes and things like this. And I often review films that I see many, many times. And I think you can draw lessons and learn things from a lot of films. And that little clip that I played for you all there, I think is true testament to that reality, that despite the fact that films are a fantasy, they always have some kind of basis in reality. I forget who said it, but fiction has to make sense. So it's often rooted in reality. And we're living in a time now where we need to realize the fact that we have to, you know, do something, learn something, and pay more attention, right? Where in the heck would anybody conceivably have an argument against it? You know? I would think that truth is, in general, say you're listening to these clips and you think about we're fighting a long time and it's so hard, etc., etc. My take on it is that all these war movies, end of the world movies, to a truth of, they mean something very, very different, because we know that there's an agenda to destroy the world, or rather than destroy the planet, rather than that, more like enslave it, you know, take out the bulk of humanity and the rest of us will be kind of herded into bondage. But don't worry, you won't have to go to a FEMA camp, because as Jeff Wren says, the whole country's a FEMA camp. yes, indeedy, freaking duty. And what was it? Speaking of Hollywood, listen, from New Zealand Herald, our $500 million gift to Hollywood. New Zealand taxpayers have spent more than $500 million over the past decade subsidizing Hollywood movies and TV series, a Herald investigation reveals. The figure includes more than $220 million rebates paid from a fund for big budget productions, as well as tax breaks claimed by movie companies. The Labor government introduced the large budget screen production grants in 2003, hoping it would stem the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars being claimed in tax losses for Hollywood productions. Hugely successful films like Avatar, you know, bring a whole bunch of money. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back.
Some kind of way out of here,
said the CEO to the tax man.
There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief.
Hey, yeah, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with our Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Now, one thing that was brought to my attention, I was listening to Freedom Files. God, Freedom Files is so funny, man. Those guys are awesome. But they're talking about getting your hands on Facebook connections. You know, if you actually want to interact with the show, if you've got people we want to interview, or articles you want read out, or, you know, or if you just want to, you know, shoot the breeze or whatever the heck, you can search Guerrilla Media Mr. News. Guerrilla Media is the first word, and Mr. News, Emma News, is the second word on Facebook there. You can connect with me. That's my account there. As well as on Twitter under Guerrilla Media. And all those are links to on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Because I think in this day of media separation, you know, it's like 2 degrees separation, seven, whatever. You got to basically connect with the people who are actually listening to you, and I do, in fact, talk to a fair amount of listeners to the show who really appreciate the fact. I can only presume that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they really hate talking to me, which is why they keep doing it. Speaking of things that you hate doing. I hate paying taxes, right? And in our fabulous New World Order-run society, you don't have a choice in the matter, especially when about $100 million or so, according to the New Zealand Herald, is likely to be spent on the two Hobbit movies, including an estimated $75 million in rebates and $25 million in extra subsidies. It's ridiculous. Some movie companies have also been claiming an estimated $10 million a year in tax breaks to offset supposed losses on profitable productions in New Zealand. And this is just BS, man. Total BS. If you're gonna make money in the film industry, man, you don't have to get a tax break, okay? First of all, Hollywood's totally overvalued, all right? If they say it's a $500 million film, it's more like a $200 million film, and some people up the top, like producers and whatnot, decided that they wanted a huge amount of extra cream coming off the top. So tells me a good friend of mine who has had one of his film sets destroyed, interestingly enough. He tells me that way up the top, that's precisely how it is, man. Whole bunch of people screwing over all the workers on the film sets and keeping all the cream on the top for themselves. You know, and as far as I'm concerned, as above, so below, this happens in absolutely every industry and all over the world, doesn't it? There's always people sitting up the top waiting for all that stuff to skim off. That's just sickening, man. Speaking of stuff that's going to skim off, farmers fear drought looming as summer comes early. The sizzling temperatures are great for sunbathers, but Waikato farmers are again drought watching. Listen from New Zealand Herald. Northland Waikato and Taranaki have significantly warmer November temperatures than normal and less soil moisture, NIWA climate scientist Georgina Griffith said. Summer had come a month early for the Waikato, which recorded one of its driest Novembers ever. Waikato, by the way, if you're a listener from Waikato, you will soon be able to hear the Vinnie Eastwood Show on Rush FM. If you go to rushfm.co.nz, it'll tell you all you need to know about that. Now, summer's come a month early for the Waikato, and it's one of the driest Novembers ever. And this is echoed by a few people. In fact, I heard this days ago from my friend John Eisen from uncensored.co.nz that this drought was coming, and now the news is picking up on it. You know, they take a while, but of course they've got a lot more specific information than John Eisen gave me. On Sunday, a reading of 28.1 degrees Celsius at Ruakura was the highest in the region for November in 100 years of record keeping. Hamilton recorded 16 millimetres of rain for the month, its lowest since records began in 1935. Mrs. Griffith said rainfall for the Waikato would continue to be normal at best, and the predicted total of 60 to 80 millimetres over summer would do little to alleviate the dry conditions. It's definitely not a good situation to start summer in, said Ms. Griffiths. It's looking very anti-cyclonic, so there won't be much rainfall in the lead-up until Christmas. Now, I would encourage everybody, world over, regardless, to save water. You know? What's the point in wasting it? It's precious to life. Everybody needs it. And there's only a finite supply available. Anyway, droughts or not. Now, this is quite a significant challenge, droughts in New Zealand, because it doesn't happen very often. Little South Pacific island nations don't get exposed to long periods of dry spells all that often, right? But when it does happen, mate, there's a big deal about it, you know, because small industries and family farmers, all that kind of stuff, they have real tough times, and I sure hope that they can weather this non-storm. Speaking of weathering the storm, WikiLeaks servers moved to France for now. Paris Whistleblowing site WikiLeaks is now being partly hosted by French servers after being booted off US company Amazon's servers, a traceback of the site and a source close to WikiLeaks said. Amazon stopped hosting the site following US pressure after it began on Sunday publishing the first batch of more than 250,000 US classified diplomatic cables the website is believed to have obtained from a disaffected US soldier. And those of you who don't remember, the reason why that was able to happen, that a soldier got all these documents and whatnot, is after 9/11, you know, because of the fact, oh, well, you know, we didn't have enough integration in all our spying security services and we're not able to keep tabs on everybody like it's frickin' Soylent Green or something. So they integrated everything. And of course, anybody who knows about access to information knows that if you want to keep it secret, as fewer people have access to it, the better. And so, in their effort to stem the terrible, terrible threat of terrorism, they allowed things like WikiLeaks the ability to have whistleblowers everywhere because all the agencies are now connected and, well, they basically shot themselves in the foot by doing so. And this is probably, well, and there is a theory, I'm not 100% sure how substantiated this theory is, that WikiLeaks is a false flag organization. And they've got some description of nefarious means. I don't have the full facts on that. Hopefully, one of our fabulous listeners will email our fabulous producer, afteramerica@gmail.com, if they have any more information on that. Now, this was the move was confirmed by a source close to WikiLeaks who cautioned that it might not last long, and WikiLeaks has been changing country and server fairly regularly for a few days because it has been the target of several internet attacks, so there's no certainty that tomorrow they won't be hosted elsewhere, the source said. OVH declined to confirm that WikiLeaks was on its servers when asked by Associated Press. WikiLeaks said Sunday and again on Monday that it was the target of distributed denial of service, or DDoS, attacks aimed at shutting down or slowing the website. Classic DDoS attacks occur when legions of quote-unquote zombie computers, normally machines infected with viruses, are commanded to simultaneously visit a website, overwhelming servers or knocking them offline completely. Yeah, WikiLeaks is a very interesting case that we've got, right? Because on the one hand, it's freaking great because they're undermining the governments that are, well, basically undermining all our freedoms. So it's about time we got some of our own back. Again, Hillary Clinton, there's been calls for her to resign over some of the things that have come out in these documents. But she's not going to resign, man. Just like George H.W. Bush isn't going to go to jail for war crimes for his policies towards South America before his election. You know? And apparently, somebody is launching a prosecution against George W. Bush for the war crimes over Iraq. Let's see how that pans out. I have my doubts, but yeah. Now, something that's very close to my heart, YouTube, where my channel is, Mr. News Guerrilla Media's channel, and also the Vinnie Eastwood Show channel, been around a lot less time than mine, but basically, Google plans YouTube copyright crackdowns. I'm from San Francisco. Google is promising to do a better job of weeding out copyright violations on the internet. As part of a crackdown announced Thursday, Google Incorporated says it will respond to complaints about pirated material posted on its YouTube video site and other services within 24 hours. I have personal experience of this because I was involved with a total scumbag fraudster back in the day by the name of Shane Charles Wenzel. You can Google that mofo. Have a look at the posts on a little site called Kiwi Blog. It should be the first thing that comes up on your search engine there. And basically, he's just a total fraudster, total sociopath, very violent, intimidatory. And I was involved with him for a while because he was, I didn't know who he really was. I hadn't done a Google search, you know, and from now on, before I get involved with anybody, that's what I do first, check up on them. And basically, they were stealing. I made a couple of videos for them, and after I was screwed over by them, I was just like, right, I'm deleting these videos. These guys ain't ever getting anything of mine ever again, because they were using elements of Maori sovereignty movements, you know, there's special legal ramifications and ability for self-governance here in this country. And also, if you're familiar with the Free Man International movement headed by Rob Menard in Canada, he was using these legal principles so that he could set up an independent republic in coordination with a gang called Black Power, so that they would be outside of any court or police jurisdiction. And at the time, the reason why this was stated is that, you know, the government's corrupt and, you know the whole truth of thing, because, you know, and I got sucked into it, to tell you the truth. But fortunately, even though they uploaded my videos onto three different channels, when I did my copyright complaints to YouTube, those videos were taken down exactly within 24 hours. And this article here really, really vindicates me on that. Now, it's an attempt to placate copyright holders upset about lengthy delays and the removal of videos or other content that has been posted illegally. Google also plans to police the websites and its online advertising network more closely. Sites that repeatedly try to make money by improperly hosting copyrighted content will be blamed from the internet's largest ad network more quickly. Publishers, broadcasters, and movie studios contend rampant copyright abuses on the internet have cost them hundreds of millions of over the past decade. Now, I don't know about you, but when something goes up on YouTube and it's from a big, massive, massive company, and people can see this big, massive company's stuff for free, you know, people actually really busted their hump to make that material, and I believe they are entitled to some description of compensation. But also, on the other hand, they get all of that through their regular business practices, and all the other little guys who are uploading it not for profit or anything like that, you know, don't deserve to be thrown in jail or anything, which apparently is what's going to happen not too far from now, as I believe there's legislation about to be passed elsewhere in the world that makes copyright infringement not a civil matter, but a criminal offence. So be wary. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. The way it's going to be.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Yeah, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Check us out on Facebook, Guerrilla Media, Mr. News, and on YouTube, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media. So there's a little bit of a switcheroo happening over there. Yes, yes, yes. And, of course, both of these little programs here controlled by Total... total globalist corporations. So isn't it fabulous to help, you know, spread the truth out through the New World Order's own system? Yeah. We post a lot of articles on the Twitter feed as well, the Guerrilla Media Twitter feed. So connect with us there if you can. Now, speaking of keen and something that connects, court orders Monsanto's GMO sugar beet to be destroyed. Whammo! That's right. This is from davidicke.com. U.S. District Court Judge Jeffrey White in August banned the planting and sales of Monsanto's Roundup Ready biotech sugar beets after determining that their approval in 2005 by the USDA was illegal. He said the government must conduct a thorough environmental review before approving the crop to comply with the law. But shortly after the ruling, the USDA issued permits allowing companies to plant seedlings to produce the seed for future GMO sugar beet crops. In his ruling, Tuesday, Judge White said those seedlings shall be removed from the ground. And Earth Justice, a consumer group that brought the case against the USDA and had asked the judge to order the young plants be destroyed, said the action was the first court-ordered destruction of a GMO crop. And I would hope that it's not the last. It'd be nice if they were all destroyed. God knows what's going on with them. And this comes off the back of our interview with Alison White, I believe a couple of days ago, that genetically modified crops, they're tested, right? But they're not tested on animals to a large extent. They used to be, of course, but when they found out that abnormal liver function and various other life-threatening health complications started affecting all the lab rats, they said, "Oh, that's really bad. Okay, now we don't need to test it on animals. Let's just give it to the public." Oh, the tyranny. "We had to run into court and ask the judge to stop them," said Earth Justice attorney Paul Achitoff. He said, "You've got to tear up the plant," which was what we asked him to do. It's an extreme sort of thing, but the circumstances were such that there really wasn't any alternative. They basically had dared the court to stop them. Sugar beets account for more than half of the nation's sugar supply, and Monsanto's Roundup Ready beets have been popular with farmers as they've been genetically altered to withstand sprayings of the chemical herbicide Roundup, making weed management easier for producers. And of course, it makes it much easier for the general public to not get pesticides in them either when all their food is directly sprayed with them. They've even got GMO crops now that produce their own pesticides so the bugs can't eat them. All right? Bug try and eat this plant, boom, it dies. And so they go, "Oh, wow, that's really awesome. Let's give it to the public." Again and again and again. You know, same freaking story. People are just like, they live off death. They're like death mosquitoes, you know? Buzz around going, the most annoying scumbags ever. But there's no mosquito net that can keep them out of your bed. And I'm sure this is just a small victory here that I'm talking about, but, you know, I'll take what I can get. Environmentalists say widespread use of the crop leads to increased use of herbicides, proliferation of herbicide-resistant weeds, and contamination of conventional and organic crops, which has been talked about for ages. Monsanto, which owns intellectual property rights to the sugar beet technology, and now, interestingly enough, a friend of mine down in Hamilton tells me that they've even, get this, this will freak you out. I haven't seen the evidence to substantiate this, of course, it's just what I've been told, that Monsanto has now own pig genes. So that if your pig has piglets, Monsanto can come and sue you. They've been trying to do this with many, many different things, and indeed I believe they were even trying to patent the human genome so that if your babies are born, they're Monsanto property. This is how psycho the Monsanto company really is, man. They are out of their freaking mind with genocidal behavior, and it is a and they have a freaking laundry list of these types of stories about them. Kid you not. If you ever want to watch a grand documentary on this, go watch The World According to Monsanto. It's made by a lovely French woman who decided that Monsanto needed to be exposed, and she did quite the fabulous job. Now, Monsanto, which owns the intellectual property rights to the sugar beet technology, sought to intervene in the case and was granted limited standing, but the company had no immediate comment on Tuesday. Of course, because, you know, why would you want to comment about being a criminal organization? You know, what do you got to gain from that? Pretty much F all, I would have thought. And this is what these PR scumbags are always all about. They're all about, oh, well, you know, it wouldn't be a good idea to talk in this case, and it might be a good idea to say this in this case. And they're manufacturing this whole facade that they're this honest, fabulous, loving corporation, when the reality is they just want you dead. Or a slave. You know, just like every other loving corporation out there. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on American Freedom Radio, Fabulous Network. And we'll be right back after this first break with hour number two, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Yeah, baby, bring us back on to a little bit of unity out there. It'd be absolutely freaking fantastic, innit? Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show without Will on American Freedom Radio and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I heard from my our laboured associate producer, Chris, last night, and he's been off the show for good month or so, and he's been doing something which many people I recommend should do, getting offline for a bit and going out and getting a life. And I applaud him, man. It's just brilliant because it actually takes a lot of guts to just kind of say, right, I'm not living a life that I want to. I'm going to go change it. Good on him. And, maybe he'll come back to us, or maybe he won't. But I just sent him an email just saying, mate, I appreciate everything that you've done for us, and it's great because, you know, back in the days when we first started up the show, Chris from basically Day Dot is there feeding us articles every day, you know, making sure that we've got good material to read out. Deeply appreciative, and I hope he finds everything that he's looking for out there, much like the Federal Reserve. Listen, from the Intel Hub, who gave $9 trillion worth of emergency loans to major banks at near zero interest rates. Today, the private Federal Reserve was forced to reveal that they loaned upwards of $9 trillion to major financial institutions in emergency overnight loans. These loans were done in complete secret, used to save the economy, which had slipped into a deep staged economic depression, and still is. Most of the money has been paid back, yet the interest rates that these major institutions received were near zero. That's right. Federal Reserve bailed out their partners on Wall Street at near zero interest rates, while every day the American citizens have been continually blasted by high interest rates around every freaking corner. It's not fair, really, is it? The Federal Reserve System was never meant to be fair. It was meant to be fascist. As of CNN Money, Senator Bernie Sanders, the Vermont independent who authored the provision of the financial reform law that required Wednesday's disclosure, said that, called the data that was released incredible and jaw-dropping. The $700 billion Wall Street bailout turned out to be pocket change compared to trillions and trillions of dollars in near-zero interest loans and other financial arrangements that the Federal Reserve doled out to every major financial institution, Sanders said. He said that even if the Fed was right to make the loans to keep the economy from toppling into a depression, it should have been made stronger demands of the bank help American consumers and small businesses. They don't give two flying F's about small American businesses, or any small business for that matter. Oh, unless you're at the big fat table with all the big fat F's like us. Roar, we're the bankers. You ain't gonna come to our craps table. Bloody bankster gangsters. Hate them. Hate them very much. Mostly for what they do to ordinary people with the flick of a pen and the tap of a keyboard. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Al Will on American Freedom Radio. 402-237-2525 is the number to call. We'll be right back after this short break.
Time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Freedom Files. Weekday, Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m.
Central
on American Freedom Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road. When along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. And I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer.
I'm a killer.
Everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man. I've seen a banker over there, man, and I threw something at him, man, and I hit him on the head, man. It made me feel so good. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. You will not believe how lucky we are to have our very, very special co-host returning back to the mic, gun in hand. Will, welcome back.
I don't know about gun in hand, but yeah, thank you.
Speaking of being everywhere, you've just been to India, as I hear it.
Oh, mate, I've been in the middle of Delhi and, you know, boy, feeling pretty warm, I can tell you. These Indian call centers really know how to spice it up, don't they? I was actually trying to work out halfway through this last conversation, just trying to sort out my modem settings and password and all the rest of the crap. And is this guy a robot? Am I talking to a robot here? And then I was able to kind of ask leading questions to test if it was a robot or not, you know? It's really hard to know these days.
Well, yeah, it totally is, and because for goodness sake, these people are reading off a script and they're trained very, very well, and it's just,
Just Indians either. I'm not being racist here. I mean, having to deal with insurance companies and carpet companies and all sorts of scum lately are really amazing at how process-driven people have become. I don't know if I'm off topic here, Vinnie, but it's just right on the forefront of my head just how computerized people have become. Sorry, that's against our terms and conditions. It's like people have just become big legal waiver terms and conditions registers. walking filing cabinets for scumbag foreign corporations.
I just don't like it when people follow a script, you know. It's because of the fact that, you know, they can't think on their feet, and more to the point, they can't think laterally, you know. When I was a salesman, you know, I was able to do all that because of the fact that I was able to think on my feet and do all these different things. And, you know, what's funny? When you can think on your feet, you actually wind up helping a lot more people than you'd ever realize. Because of the fact that you're able to adapt and think about what's going to work versus what's not going to. Whereas a lot of people, they can't think at all. And sometimes it's frustrating, you know, like people like police or, you know, institutionalized people, for example, doctors or whatever, they can't think outside the box because, oh, goodness, it'll be so horrific to think.
Oh, for sure, man. It's just really, it's really sad, isn't it? It's like, look, you know, the government, the corporations, they've taken all our responsibilities away, and I like it. I can be more vapid and facile than ever. It satisfies me. It satisfies my wife. We can just, you know what I mean? And then you start rattling their little cage by getting them to think, and, wow, it's just like hostile, you know? It's like you just wish you never went there. But I'm probably changing the subject here, Vinny. Where have you been for the last hour? Bring me up to speed here.
Well, we've basically been running over a whole bunch of different articles. Okay, now we've got a drought hitting us now in New Zealand, a very, very early one. WikiLeaks has apparently moved into thing, and we also have a very special guest. And we also have a very special guest on the line with us now, all the way from Wellington, and who's got some very, very important news. Is Benjamin Easton, the political busker? Benjamin, are you there?
Yeah, I think I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. How's it going, mate?
Oh, not bad. Thanks, Vinny. Nice to hear. How are things for you?
Borderlining on fabulous.
Good for you. Yeah, so it's pretty busy down here, I can say. It's we just had another accident overnight of, I don't know, sorry, I'm late, basically. I lost my password, so I've got to restart. But I've been campaigning on Manners Mall, and previously when I was speaking to you, I was assisting Brian Pepperell, a mayoralty candidate, to become mayor, and that was unsuccessful. We had a previous mayor, Kerry Prendergast, who was overtaken by Celia Wade-Brown, and Brian Pepperell, the candidate who I was hoping would get in for his interests in matters like clean water and peaking oil, was very unsuccessful. And to me, that simply proved the massive lack of information that's out there. So things like peak oil and clean water weren't part of the campaign at all. It was all the votes came in from those people who are established politically and believe in their parties, and they put all of their energy into this bollocks, basically.
Now, let me just preface this for the international audience. Now, you're an activist in Wellington, the nation's capital, and of late, in the New Zealand media, a small strip of road named Manners Mall, which used to be a popular walking destination, now turned into a bus lane, and I've been following some of your correspondence on this, that the bus lane is neither wide enough nor safe, and of late, recently, almost every day, there's a new article coming out with a new person that's been hit by these buses. Could you divulge and again clarify for me and of course the audience what this is really all about and how the process got started and, you know, got the whole nine yards to get through here, mate?
Yeah, how long have we got?
Well, we've got about 15 minutes before until we go to break here, so make it snappy.
As best I can. Okay, it's been a major campaign. It's hugely political. It's about commercial interests, Infratil, namely. In the airport, they've got a shareholding with council. Council are the lower shareholders. The council have had a directorship involved in that, so they've had access inside council chambers. The mayor, previous mayor, was actually the director and doing infratil business inside council. That means that the renovation of the roading structure in New Zealand and focusing on Wellington is actually part and parcel of it's all part of a commercial entity that's taking control. Sorry, I have to rephrase what I've said so it's clear. Infratil, which has got transport interests, have got a foot inside the council door, with to the degree that the mayor is a was previous mayor, now the deputy mayor, are directors of their a company of their interest, making decisions on behalf of the airport in the public arena. Now that's wrong. So the private-public partnership is being abused in Wellington. Now part of this, what this evolved, how this was manifest, is it's turned into a proposal before the council called the Airport to Nauranga Gorge Corridor Plan. And that started at Nauranga Gorge, which is south, and down through to the airport, which is north, and down to the airport, which is lower south. So they wanted to cut their way all the way through on the straightest route, and in that route was a pedestrian mall called Manners Mall. Now, when I say cutting through, it's actually the very heart of the city. It couldn't be closer to the middle inside the city, and so it's a premium real estate for either pedestrians or, in this case, public transport, which is buses. It's on what's called the Golden Mile, and the Golden Mile was always originally a retail area, but they passed a revocation of the mall on a bus priority. So what they said effectively is that buses are now the priority. Now, this is shocking. It's shocking because Wellington is a place known, I suppose, known for its jaywalking, one could say, but it's known for its comfort, its casual nature, its ability to walk, because you can almost walk from anywhere to anywhere. It's only like 5K from the centre of the city to anywhere of importance. So to make buses a priority is in its very beginning almost sacrilege in the city. But not only that, they put it through the most they're putting a busy bus route, all of the routes in fact, through just an area which is just jam-packed with pedestrians. So when you say when I say it's too narrow, the carriageway that's in there is 6.5 meters wide. So the council's own standards are supposed to be 7 metres, and originally they planned it at 6 metres, and it was only, I didn't realise it was 7 metres when campaigning, the group of us that were campaigning, and we got it to 6.5 and thought that was a victory. But in fact it wasn't a victory, because it was still half a metre short. The footpaths were supposed to be 5 metres, and they're variable, and in some areas it's clearly too narrow. At one particular end, where the through route for the pedestrians is at 2.1, or it's at 2.5 metres. So that's completely substandard. That intersection, that area where it's so narrow, I'll call the Paris-Texas corner, and it was so obviously narrow, and no one was listening to the campaign that was being driven by me and a group who formed for this called The City Is Ours, that I took to the intersection with a sledgehammer, a megaphone and a pot of paint, and held up the traffic for half an hour and got myself into the criminal jurisdiction. So that did in fact hold up the traffic for half an hour, and I was arrested and I did get into the criminal jurisdiction. Fortunately, we got video of what happened, so it's not too bad for me. But now what's happening is that, and I also was leading civil proceedings against the court, not being trained, but able to figure my way around law, and I've got a very credible challenge in on the safety issues, and also, as I was saying before, on the mayoralty's conflict of interest. So I've been battling through the courts, but they've said effectively you're not allowed to bring this information, and the Environment Court as well, but they're saying I'm not allowed to bring the information because I, A, have no standing, and B, I have no money. So really the arguments that have been presented, such as the narrowness of the corridor and you know, the pure safety, the neglect, haven't had really much light at all, and they've been knocked around with the judicial system or the lawyers. You know, the way that the lawyers bully the litigants out of the court, and what one would appear after several hundred thousands of dollars have been spent on these proceedings that I've lost, but that's not true. I've just received back from the Court of Appeal. I appealed the last decision from a Justice Clifford from the High Court as being simply ridiculous. The claim that I don't have standing is stupid. Of course I have standing. I've got 2 feet. And I don't have, it's, you know, I mean, I don't have money. So I don't have money. Does that mean to say because I don't have money, I'm not entitled to get into justice? So it's, his decision is wrong. It's morally and ethically wrong. And it's showing the calcification of the New Zealand judicial system, which I will add in brackets, is under incredible pressure at the moment to stand by its behaviours.
Now, after these people basically ignored all your safety concerns, basically from day dot, as soon as the mall opened to bus traffic, people start getting hit. And in the last 3 days, 3 people have been hit or something ridiculous like this. And it just goes to show you, you know, that in Wellington, you've got to basically make the best of life because you could be hit by a bus tomorrow.
And some people have. You know, that's right. You're absolutely right. It's a bizarre argument that's unfolding that I'm seeing, that people are saying it's all in the pedestrians. Pedestrians have got to take care for themselves and got to be aware. And this argument is just rampaging. Everyone's saying it's the pedestrians' fault. Well, they pay the rates. You know, they're the people who pay for it. So why is it that everyone's saying they need to be so careful in an area that's a walking area?
Has the media? I mean, you've been covering this issue for quite some time in elaborate depth, and as far as I'm concerned, you'd be the prime source of information for comment on these incidents. Have the media at all come to speak to you and ask your opinion?
No, quite the contrary. I tell you, Vinny, absolutely the contrary. It's ridiculous. it's just bizarre. Of the intersections, there's three that are there are other areas, of course, in the proposal, but mainly I'm arguing about Manor Street, which is there's three. And there are three intersections that are dangerous. And the one that I chose was the Manor Street, Victoria Street intersection. And I went on there. And, of course, I established under the Resource Management Act that there was an emergency. And that's my argument. That's my defence. So I know this information. And I'm saying, here, listen to me. I've got all this stuff. You're not listening to me before, so I've got to take a sledgehammer. And they're still not listening to me. So now that there have been accidents and there's more public pressure on the media paying attention, they're still ignoring me. And I'm going out there in the peak period on this intersection, which they're saying everything is going fine, even though there's been these incidents. And there's 4, not 3. It's just bollocks that there's 3. There's 4, and they should have been reported, but there's only 3 that they're telling us about. Fortunately, the 4th wasn't particularly serious. But they're saying everything's fine and dandy, but on this intersection, it's just a simple nightmare, and there are so many close incidences that it's just bizarre. I was talking to a switchboard operator. He was talking to me. I'm on bail conditions, and I'm not allowed to approach anybody, but he was talking to me, and he was saying there was a whole lot of things that, you know, he just agreed with me, that there was so much that's not being reported. It's silly. The cars are ending up in the middle of the intersection with buses, with pedestrians, with skateboards, with cyclists, and it's chaos at the moment. It's five.
Now, the court has said that you don't have any standing. What about the people that have been knocked over by the buses? Do they have any standing?
No, mate. They're lying in a pool of their own blood, unfortunately. You know, two of them have gone away in a neck brace. So, you know, they're not only not standing, they're headless as well. So yeah, it's pretty grim.
It's totally outrageous, you know. They ignore all of the facts, all of the research, and what's going to happen next? I mean, I can guarantee you the only time that they'll actually, you know, bother to do anything about it is if some grand MP gets knocked down by one of these buses.
Yeah, well, certainly the the discussion that's coming out of council at the moment is much the same. They're saying that they're going to be aggressive. They're going to do more aggressive marketing of how to make people aware, for God's sake. You know, and exactly, if it is an MP or if it is an infertile family member or something like that, you can anticipate that the change. But just the ordinary public, they have to just, you know, learn.
They just have to grin. They just have to grin and bear it while they get all up in the boss's grill. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Benjamin Easton, the political busker, and we'll be right back after this short break.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time.
Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
Hoo-yar!
That's right.
Oh, yeah, baby, it's business time. Rocking it here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And our very special guest, Benjamin Easton, the political busker, joins us live from Wellington. Benjamin, welcome back.
Yeah, hi. Hello again.
Very enthusiastic. All right. Now, we were talking over the break about, you know, the old adage of deep throat, follow the money. Whose money's tied up in all of this Manners Mall business, mate?
Well, it's got to be Infratil's money. The Infratil are, as I was saying before, the largest shareholder of the airport, and they own the Snapper, which is the money system that they use to run the buses. And they own New Zealand Bus as well. So they own the company that's going through. So it's just a bonus for them. And I know that it was a big bonus for them because they said prior to the spending of this kind of money that they were going to withhold their funds unless central government and local governments decided to do their bidding and behaved more in the way that Infratil wanted them to behave. And sure enough, well, everyone bowed and curtsied and they got the money, and now transport is totally on the agenda of New Zealand. And that, you know, I mean, everyone's just feeling the punch of transport because it's just all about moving to the airport and moving in a straight flow and forget about the people and forget about the cyclists and forget about the skateboards and forget about sitting down in the middle of somewhere comfortably. It's all about cars. So it's deep throat, all right? You know, it's deep throat down an exhaust pipe.
Burnt lips. Well, speaking of burnt lips, who's taking the PR flak for all of this?
Well, PR flak, he seems to be doing a pretty good job at the moment. There's a Richard McLean, and he's the council spokesman, and he's just going hard at it, mate. He's just incredible. He just keeps on going. And they're saying that now they're going to take an aggressive approach now that there's been these accidents. They're going to take an aggressive approach, and they're going to force the citizens to really pay attention to what it is they're doing, and, of course, the bus drivers to slow down and everyone to yield to a fine, the threat of a fine, and suddenly be fearful that their wallet might get hit if they're naughty again. And then, of course, the Big Brother, 1984, is all coming through, will take control. And the other thing that they're saying, which is really scary, is what that's being talked about, and my information is that it's being talked about not in the lower parts of the political circles, but right up the top, is barriers. So they're thinking of putting barriers on a pedestrian, what used to be a pedestrian mall, with narrow corridors and a narrow bus, a narrow carriageway. It's just bloody stupid. So, and This is all for the World Cup, you realise. The World Cup's coming next year, so it's all got to be done.
That explains it. Because, same thing's happening up here in Auckland, you know, huge developments, and it's costing millions and millions and millions of dollars odd. And, you know, in general, nobody wants it.
Yeah, that's right.
Mate, we've got enough men in short shorts running around handling their balls in this country anyway. So why do we need to spend bazillions of dollars upgrading all of our infrastructure so that we can accommodate all these international visitors who will just basically spend a bit of money in our economy, not anywhere near as much as we spent to get them here, of course. And then, of course, there's going to be a whole bunch of tax breaks. So whatever profit our country could have made out of these World Cup things is going to go straight back overseas anyway, and we're going to be and the taxpayers are just going to be left holding the frickin' bag again.
But also the thing is that those tourists go away, so it's only for a single event. And the other thing is, how do we guarantee that they're actually going to come here in the first place? You know, it might be a fizzer. Then what? We might lose. Then what? You know, so It's just people of the people in authority in New Zealand, local and central, have just gone mad, absolute bollocks, and it's time. And that's what I'm effectively engaging myself in, is it's time to remove that authority. And and so I'm not saying by terms of I'm not saying that the authority needs to be removed in terms of revolution, physical or violent. It just needs to be that the arguments that overthrow these people who are acting so badly on sovereignty must be exercised, and they must be exercised with the force that the people who should listen, the judges and the government and the politicians, must listen. Because, you know, Vinny, you're surely aware that there are arguments about the fact that the Crown isn't legitimate and it can't uphold its legitimacy in law. It can't. It doesn't have an ability. So it's time for those arguments to come in. If we're going to have a pedestrian mall collapsed completely by a bus, saying a bus is more important than a person, then bugger off. You know, it's just got stupid. And that's where I'm standing. I'm saying it's just way too stupid now.
And what kind of consequences have the authorities tried to lay on you as a result of your activism, Ben?
Well, clearly, when I was arrested over more than was necessary. I informed them that I was taking out this emergency work on the intersection because it was an emergency. No one listened to the emergency, and they pulled me down onto the concrete. My head went into the concrete, and they jumped on these four guys. They brought a taser around, threatened me with a taser, and all I was asking them to do was read a piece of paper, for pity's sake. And so I've had, for those proceedings, I've got charges against me. They were going to say I had possession of an offensive weapon, and the judge threw that out straight away, so that's good. So they're fairly minor charges against me. I've got bail conditions, which mean I can't approach anybody who's a worker, and I can't attack the road. I'm not allowed to attack the road, but I am allowed to be here, and I am allowed to walk on it. So really, I'm not that limited in what it is that I can do. And clearly, I don't know if you're familiar with my chalking that I tell you about. I chalk messages outside a Ministry of Justice building and the Māori Broadcasting, where I'm saying should be in this party. You know, they should be going hard on what it is I'm doing. I'm doing it on their doorstep, for God's sake, and they're nowhere to be seen. And the Inland Revenue Building. So I go out there every day and I chalk up these political messages telling them there's a revolution on their doorstep. And effectively, they've got to start paying attention. And, you know, at some stage, and this is what's happened with Manners Mall, is the idiots aren't listening. There's just idiots in power and they're not listening. And because there are idiots in power who are not listening, they actually get what they ask for. They ask to put buses through a narrow pedestrian corridor. And, of course, people are getting hit. And, in fact, I don't know whether or not their relative was hit last night, but a woman in her 20s had her head bust open. You know, she's in a serious condition, and it could have been their son, their daughter, or a relative, or even, you know, in some cases, the mum. It's just bloody ridiculous, and these people have got to wake up. They're saying that after a while, after a few more heads get bashed, the pedestrians will learn how to walk on the road. Well, that's just bloody stupid. In a couple of weeks, we've got a major school holiday going through there with their school children. Now, I've been in the court with all the evidence and the information, and none of the information measured about how busy that precinct is has got anything to do with the school kids. And the school kids are busy. You've got a full working system in place. All the buses are going through under their normal schedules. They're jam-packed, and the kids are lining the streets. And no one's even thought of it, you know. So it's just crazy people are running New Zealand, and they're so fat that they don't know how to go for a walk. They just sit on their buses or sit at their computers and make money.
Oh, yeah. Democracy in action.
Yeah.
I'm really sick of the fact that, you know, people just don't listen to activists because, you know, let's face facts here. It's very rarely, in my opinion, that those who are paid to do a job do it anywhere near as well as the person who would do the job regardless of whether or not they're paid, because they do it with passion. And a person with passion delves into things to a greater extent than anybody who's paid money to do so, right? And so, you know, who better to be a pundit or a commentator than somebody in that position such as yourself? However, what's happening here, in our country at least, I've found, is that instead of going to the people whose opinions actually do matter, who, you know, like activists, they go to all these corporate pundits and these council officers who are just paid to, you know, sit back and it's just open slather. They don't give an F.
But in this case, Vinny, it's more sinister than that. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, and this is, I believe this is why people are running away from actually talking with me, because I'm saying there's corruption here. You know, if you've got corruption in your hand, if you've got corruption and you can see it, you talk about it. And of course, the people who are corrupt, like Radio New Zealand, for example, they won't talk about it. They won't go there because they know what you're exposing, because they live with it all the time. They profit from it all the time. So, you know, we say New Zealand is the least corrupt. Well, guess what? I reckon it's the most corrupt, because all of these behaviours, like I say, it's fatness. You know, all of these behaviours can just get away. They don't need to exercise. They just, you know, just don't. No one tests them, and that's why they treat me so badly. And for example, the Opus International, I've charged them. I tried to bring them into court, but unfortunately, I didn't have enough information to be able to back it all the way, so I had to try and drop them for proceedings. But there's a very telling document inside the their consultant document, and that they were contracted to do. And on page 20 of that document, it identifies, I'm saying there's a superior route. Manusball was never the best route. There's another route called Wakefield Street, which is outside the council buildings, right outside the doorstep. They don't want to be there. They want it down Manusball. I know, it's terrible. It's just obvious. You know, they just didn't want the stinky buses outside their doors, so they catered to the people in Manusball.
Public officers shouldn't have to sacrifice for the public, should they? No.
Just bizarre. And, you know, one of the councillors, of course, lives on the corner of the area where it's been, and she doesn't want that, of course. You know, it's just disgusting. But it's wider. It's clearly competitive in terms of what they call the benefit-cost ratio. It's easily competitive, and it's got the best position for a bus stop, which they're now making a shared space called we're trying to pass it off as a mall. But on page 20 of this report, they identify and say it's not going to be used, and this bus stop isn't going to be set up in this premium area, which is best for the bus stop, because of what's known as a key attractor. Now, the key attractor can only, in the context of the document, can only be, as far as I can see, what a place called Upper Cuba, and it's a Cuba character area, and it's where the then mayor had her hotel, conflict of interest. And further up, they'd brought in these Transit New Zealand, which I think is NZTA, had brought in these houses that they owned and relocated them empty, sat them there for ages. And as soon as the Manusball decision went through, guess what? They put it on the market. So this is corrupt behaviour, not at the lower level where they're supposed to, you know, where ordinary people just take bribes, et cetera, et cetera. It's at the top level. And that's because New Zealand is so distant from anywhere else, like Australia. And it's also
incestuous. And let me guess, it's a public-private partnership.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about NZTA. I know that Opus used to be, kind of, I know that Opus used to be the principal in the Ministry of Works. So it used to be a private-public kind of partnership. And they, I mean, I'm only into this fairly new in this kind of area of political, financial issues. But they used to be the Ministry of Works, so they've always had a foot in, and now they've just sort of taken a they always get the contract kind of thing. So yeah, it's private public. There's a history of that in there, but I don't want to start another court case for me.
Well, you've got too many pots on the boil at the moment, eh, mate?
Yeah, kind of. I'm getting some support on this last one. It's been fantastic. I've had two people who have contacted me independently, and they've both got legal minds, and both of them have shown briefly what they're doing. Just fantastic, and they've offered commentary on a couple of applications I've put in. It's just been brilliant. So a whole lot of the load feels like it's coming off when other people are paying attention to what I'm saying, albeit that they're not the people who are supposed to be paying attention, but certainly I've got some backup, which is the first time in ages.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's very important for people in the public sector to, well, shall we say, support those people like yourself who really are in the depth of the issues and sacrificing so much.
Yeah, and like you too, Vinny.
Thank you. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Benjamin Easton, the political busker, and we'll be right back after this very short break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. To the Vinny Eastwood Show. Whip will! On American Freedom Radio and the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. And soon enough, we will be on air here in New Zealand on in the Tron. That's right. Rush FM, 89 FM in Hamilton will be carrying the Vinny Eastwood Show soon enough. This country will never be the same again, and I'll probably get charged with sedition.
they've knocked that out now.
Oh, dang it. There's missed my opportunity.
These days, mate.
awesome. The penalty is death for that. Great.
Yep. Yeah, now, both.
Now, speaking of treasonous activity, you've become part of a new tribe. Is that correct?
Well, it's not a new tribe. It's the only tribe. It was the only tribe that ever should have been here from the very beginning. It's Ngāti Lukitoria, which means the Queen's tribe. And I'm saying the Crown is demonstrably false. I mean, they've made so many mistakes. They didn't constitute properly. They made an incredible mistake in 2003, which I probably covered in your last show a little bit, which it's just the sovereignty is broken down, any resemblance of sovereignty. So I'm saying effectively the government is not. And it's just it's a plastic crown. It's not a real crown. So I've separated myself now because effectively I can't get justice in New Zealand, and I've proved that in a number of cases, but particularly with the matter of Bill Wilson, a Supreme Court judge who was just made to resign with a $1 million handshake. Now, they've said that the reason why he had to resign on that handshake was because it would bring the justice into disrepute, and clearly it would, because it means that the Chief Justice would probably also be charged. So that means his boss would get done as well. So that's a bit odd, isn't it? You know, so one guy gets done and his boss would get done for the same thing. So they're saying, no, let's not do the boss. Now, that shows the measure of the corruption that's there. Now, if you want that qualified, then I've got 6 complaints with the Judicial Conduct Commissioner where this issue happened, all about much the same thing, but better, because the act was about a lawyer who fraudulently entered the document of the court, which was omitted by the lawyer and covered over by the judge, Justice Dobson. And Justice Dobson happened to be a partner of the law firm of Minter Ellison, the same as the lawyer who entered the fraudulent document. And the Judicial Conduct Commissioner was also Minter Ellison. They're all partners, ex-partners at a law firm. So like I'm saying, it's incestuous. So what are they going to do? Are they going to get six judges to resign $1 million each? Are they going to give me $6 million? Or are they just going to try and pretend nothing's happening, which is the latter? Or are they going to shoot me? Or are they going to charge me with treason because they can no longer charge me with sedition because they kicked that law out? So I've written down on the chalk building, on the building, the Ministry of Justice building outside, that treason is still a crime. And effectively, we're dealing with that matter. The Supreme Court is under test. And in January, Dilip Rupa and I, and Dilip Rupa, who's an associate with a number of Auckland people who I'm not really familiar with, but I just am in contact, we've been in contact with Dilip, will be making a challenge on the Supreme Court. My arguments, which are different from theirs, are pretty powerful, and we're going to go in there. So I can't be part of a system. If I can't get justice myself from all of the things that I'm doing, and clearly I'm challenging the court, then why would I pay any attention to the system? And the only way I can get justice under what's the first flag of New Zealand, the first international flag of New Zealand, which is the Declaration of Independence flag, 1835, as came from King William IV from New South Wales in 1830, around there, 1835, 5 years prior to the Treaty of Waitangi. That's the first international flag. Now, New Zealand is not, it's called under the Declaration of Independence, which unites the tribes. Now, what New Zealand is saying is that that declaration can't be held up in law because it's not a contract of any sort. Well, that's wrong, because inside that flag, it's representative of the Union Jack. And I'm saying, well, that Union Jack is part of the contract with Māori, which means that Māori are sovereign in New Zealand. And according to the Treaty of Waitangi, in whatever fashion it is, that means that effectively New Zealand, the English or the British, were the authority in New Zealand, and that was agreed. So that's what I'm saying is going to happen, and that's what Ngāti Wikitoria is. Māori are effectively sovereign, and the English in its force as it stands is the sovereign. So that's non-Māori, those people who want to be associated with non-Māori. So it's not really a new tribe at all, but it's a way of destabilising an existing system that's gone so corrupt that it can, you know, put buses through a pedestrian mall, for God's sake. So I'm starting that. I'm stepping out, and that's going to be on Facebook. If anyone wants to search my name, Benjamin Easton, you'll find me in two areas. One is the political busker, which is what I'm doing now, and then as it's going to mature into Ngāti Wikitoria. And the application will be to find these people who are, you know, coming in and starting to help and saying, well, this is my case, and this is my case, and this is my case, and starting to pay attention to what they're saying, like you were saying before about all these activists, and start paying attention to what they're saying and listening to them and going through their arguments and saying, by God, that person is corrupt. You know, I mean, A, B, C, and I could probably name a few now on accusations without any backing information, but I'm sure that that information would stick in some places. So Ngāti Wikitoria is effectively the movement that's going to challenge sovereignty, not to take sovereignty, but to realign sovereignty with the indigenous people according to international law and establish what should be the authority. That means preserving the existing system but rationalising it to justice and applying that justice in throughout all of the different elements of society. And so it's not without a plan. I'm figuring out how to do that as rapidly as I can. And the man is small issue just becomes a catalyst. Like they say, buses is the catalyst going through the pedestrian mall. Well, I'm saying the pedestrian mall is the catalyst for rationalising the country.
Indeed. And I'd like to thank you very much, Ben, for coming on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with us today. It is my honour to give you some of the coverage that you deserve.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, Benjamin Easton, the political busker. You can Google him in various places. He's all over the place. He's like a rash on the government. Loving it. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow and with absolutely more fabulous news and terrible realities, all with a grin. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, the lighter side of genocide at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.